නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස අප්පකාතේ මනුස්සේසු යේ ජනා පාරගාමිනෝ අථායන් ඉතරා පජා තීරමේවානු ධාවති ඉති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are in a retreat situation and you all have got a very, in a way, very precious opportunity and a rare opportunity to practice the Buddha's teaching. Now, when we are going through our practice, so there are certain points that we typically highlight at the first day of our retreat. So one thing is that first of all, we need to take care of our sila, the morality, because that acts like a foundation for our practice. Say for example, if you consider that we are going to build a huge building, multiple story building, and for that to be strong, to be stable, then we have to have a very strong foundation. So that foundation is very similar to the sila foundation, the morality. So once you have a very good moral restraint, so that actually helps to maintain our practice in a good situation, in a good position. Otherwise, what happens is, even though we practice, what I mean is typically the meditation, if we are not maintaining proper sila, morality, so very without long, our whatever the gained strength, spiritual skills may go into deteriorate. Now, in order to avoid this kind of a deterioration, we need to maintain very good morality. So that is why, in a way, that we have to consider about how we are talking, how we are behaving, how basically our bodily and verbal conduct is maintained. Now, in certain suttas, Buddha mentioned that when we consider our some immediate past, so if there is no any kind of a considerable flaw has happened, any kind of a breach has happened, offense has happened, then we can be happy that we were fairly considerate and we are caring about ourselves, we are caring about the others, so that we are leading a very good moral life. And this kind of introspection actually helps us to have some sort of a inner kind of a peace, inner strength, and feel that I deserve further development. Otherwise, on the other hand, if our mind, if our conscience say that you are not a worthy person, you have done so this and that, and you have done something wrong, and you are not suitable for this kind of a spiritual practice, if that sort of a kind of accusation comes from our inner heart, so then that will be kind of a not a good atmosphere for us to practice. So therefore, in order to have a very positive atmosphere, kind of a deserving atmosphere in our heart, so maintaining good sila is really important. So Buddha mentioned this as anavajja sukha. So when we are maintaining good morality, then it helps to have a kind of a conducive environment in our mind. And in the near past, there is no any kind of breaching has happened. So therefore, we feel that now I am trying my best to act according to the teaching, act according to the precepts. So I am trying my best. There may be little mistakes might have happened because of unmindful situation, but altogether, in overall, so I am trying my best. So this kind of honest endeavor is quite useful for our practice. So that actually gives us a lot of protection, actually gives us a lot of guidance and again confidence. So therefore, Buddha mentioned that we need to support through sila. And then Buddha talks about the guidance that we can take from his teachings. Because this teaching is not something that we invented. Rather, Buddha has preached the Dhamma 2600 years ago, and again, not only him, even the previous Buddhas have mentioned the same path, especially, for example, the Satipatthana practice. is a kind of a very important practice that all the Buddhas, all the Samma Sambuddhas are preaching, not only our Buddha. So therefore, it's a kind of a very ancient path that we are trying to practice. And it is not only us, but there are millions, billions of others are practicing it. So therefore, we can confidently carry on our practice, and at the same time, we can sort of do some sort of a comparison with the Buddha's teaching. Then actually we get more confidence, because when we are continuing our practice, if our experience can be tallied upon with the Buddha's teaching, and we get some confidence, we get some approval from the Buddha's teaching, and that further helps us to maintain our practice, strengthen our practice, and to continue our practice. So therefore, Buddha mentioned that time to time, listen to the Dhamma, study Dhamma, his teaching, so that we can get a lot of advantages, a lot of guidance, a lot of strength from his teaching. So this Sutta Anugrahita, that the support that we are taking from his teaching is also important. And then even though we trying to get all these supports, still there could be few kind of perplexities, certain doubts that we may time to time encounter, and that we may have to discuss. And in order to discuss, we have to go to a good person, kind of a person who at least we believe that at least one step ahead me. And again, like-minded people are around us. And with those groups, such say good people, we are now trying to share our experience. So with that, actually, we are encouraging others also to the path. And again, we are giving a lot of proof that this practice is still live, and we can even today, we can sort of practice that. And again, if there are any kind of doubts, any kind of perplexities, then we can overcome them by going through a good discussion. So therefore, Buddha mentioned that time to time, it is necessary to discuss. Sakaccha anugrahita. And overall, our minds are fairly distracted and scattered, and especially the days like today. So there are a lot of distracting points all around the world. And usually, therefore, compared to the, say, previous generations, our older generations, our minds are fairly corrupted. So as a result, it could be a little difficult for us to concentrate our minds. Now, say for example, if we consider the old folk, so they have led a very, say, simple lifestyle. They didn't have any kind of distractions, some, say, advanced communication systems like today. And all today's facilities in another way has led to have a confused mind. So we are learning, we are getting a lot of information technology is there, and everything is available at your fingertip. And all these ultimately going and disturbing our inner peace. So that kind of a situation is available today. But on the other hand, long time ago, the lifestyle is very simple, and therefore they can easily concentrate their mind. They can really easily tame their mind. But today it would be quite difficult. So therefore, we need to understand where we are. Even though we say that we are in the 21st century, it is true that we are fairly advanced in the technology and the science. But on the other hand, we are fairly poor in the spiritual side. So therefore, we need to come back to the our origins. We have to come back to our, say, sources, come back to our original humanity in order to practice the Buddha's teaching. It is not that what we have learned, what we have gained through our education, which matters in this practice. Rather, whether we can apply Buddha's teaching honestly, humbly. So that is what most important. So that is where some teachers mention that we need to have a beginner's mind. Beginner's mind, Zen mind, is one of the popular books written by Sunyuru Suzuki, one of the Zen masters. So he emphasized that we need to have a beginner's mind. We should not think that we are experts in any field. So rather, once we are trying to practice, So we like to have a very empty mind, kind of a fresh mind, a beginner's mind, a mind like a child. So there are, we can actually maintain our sort of proper conducive environment in the mind. So that actually helps to develop the concentration. Now this concentration, what Buddha mentioned as samatha anugahita, is being going to use to develop vipassana or the wisdom. So once we have some amount of concentration, that concentration has to be maintained for a considerable period of time, and that concentration again and again, once we are using, that helps to understand what is really going on. So this understanding, though, this investigation, we can't do with kind of a scattered mind, with a kind of a, say, restless mind. So that is why we need to have a fairly concentrated mind. And once such a concentrated mind being applied onto various phenomena, it could be bodily phenomena, it could be various feelings, it may be various mental states. So then we can really observe what is really going on. So that is where we start a proper investigation, kind of an unbiased investigation, non-judgmental investigation. So that actually helps to have a first-hand information, first-hand experience, our own experience. So this is where the Satipatthana really emphasize that we need to get our hands-on experience. You can't borrow this type of experience from books or someone else. They may can give you a kind of a guidance, but you yourself have to gain this your own experience. You can't copy, you can't borrow. So we need to strive, we need to practice, and then only we will have our own kind of experience. So that is why it is called Bhavaname Jnana, sort of experiential knowledge or meditative knowledge. So for that to have, we need to say practice honestly with that previous conducive environment. So this is the way that Buddha emphasized that we need to support our practice. So if we are time to time supporting this way, then Buddha assure that we can lead towards Cheto Vimutti and Panya Vimutti. Cheto Vimutti is the freedom of mind. Panya Vimutti is the freedom through the wisdom. So this is something go hand in hand. So as we are strengthening our mind through the concentration, then we are able to experience some amount of calmness, and that further developed can lead to a freedom of mind, and that freedom of mind can be maintained, strengthened by applying various insights using the wisdom. So that actually helps to go for freedom through wisdom. So this Cheto Vimutti and Panya Vimutti are fairly say strengthening, and therefore Buddha mentioned if one make use of these five types of supports time to time, then he maybe have the capacity to get or gain these two types of wisdom, that is the my freedom through the mind and freedom through the wisdom. Now therefore please try to implement this kind of a schedule, that you are maintaining good morality. Doesn't matter that we have done something wrong in the past, but now I am trying my best honestly to maintain precepts, and I am doing it honestly, and so try to maintain that. And on the other hand, we are using certain suttas to strengthen and to get some guidance from the Buddha's teaching, that is the Sutameya Anugahita, Sutta Anugahita. And then we are conducting a discussion, and that is what is the next item. There we are trying to discuss our own experience, share our own experience, so that we can continue our practice without any doubt, without any obstacle. And others also may sort of get an example that still these practices are available. Buddha's teaching is still live, and still we can experience all these what the Buddha has mentioned. So this way we are able to give some life to the Buddha's teaching by enriching our lives through his practice. And continuously we are doing the samatha and vipassana concentration and the say vipassana, the insight practice, and this way we are trying to achieve our goal. Now today, actually for this retreat, I have taken Apada Sutta, which is available in Bojjhanga Samyutta in Samyutta Nikaya, Connected Discourses of the Buddha. Now Apada Sutta in a way is a short sutta, but it has a very beautiful verses as well as it has a very interesting theme. So that's why I have taken this sutta as a topic. And the statement that I have taken as the topic today is the first verse. So what Buddha mentioned here is, Appakate manussesu ye jana paragamino athayang itarapaja tiramewa anudhavati. Among the various beings, only a very few are able to cross to the other shore. Athayang itarapaja tiramewa anudhavati. The vast majority is continuously simply walk around in the same bank, the same shore. So you can imagine like there's a very wide river and there are two banks, and assume that we are in the closer bank, closer shore. And vast majority of us are simply struggling there. We are fighting each other, we are sort of talking each other, gambling, and you know, all the things are there. So the facilities are there, infrastructure is there, information technology is there, cars are there, vehicles are there, airplanes are there. So all the things are there. So we have quite engrossed in all these activities, and we never think that we have to cross to the other shore, because there are enough work available for us in this shore, in this bank. So it's very interesting, quite attractive. And we never think of going away, because we are quite happy here. So that is why if you consider the vast majority of the people in the whole world, so they have a lot of things to worry and a lot of things to do, and they are quite happy with that. And they think that is the achievement, or that is the main thing to do. So therefore they are continuously spending their time engaged with all those activities, and they are continuously doing this, not only this life, even the last lives, previous lives, they did the same thing. So therefore, on another angle, Buddha mentioned, so this is where the five khandhas, five aggregates are repeatedly experienced. Assume that today we all are human beings, and therefore we have five aggregates. Similarly, say past life, assume that we led another human birth, we had another human birth. So again, five aggregates were there. Assume that the previous life, it was suppose an animal. So another five aggregates are there. Suppose the previous life, assume that we were a bird. So at that time also five aggregates were there. So likewise, even though we go on and on, so we always dealing with these five aggregates, never knowing some other experience out of this boundary. So we are in a very limited boundary. So this is the boundary of the five aggregates, and we have no idea about some sort of an experience which is beyond this five aggregates. So we are very much like restricted, confined to these five aggregates. So Buddha giving a very, say, beautiful and a strong simile. Buddha says that we are like a dog bound to a post. Assume that using a chain, a dog being bound to a post, and he can only move to the length of that chain. So he can't go out of it, he can't go beyond that. So his whole experience, his whole life's experience is limited according to the length of that, say the chain, to that rope, whatever it is. So this is how we also, so that is what Buddha mentioned as a simile. So this whole humans and the celestial beings, hell realm beings, and all the typical, say, this sansaric, what you call, sojourney, we are limiting ourselves to this boundary, that is the five aggregates. It is true that we may get various types of lives, different lives, but still we are confined to these five aggregates. We never know any way out of these five aggregates. We don't know any kind of a method to come out of these five aggregates. Always hindered, always blocked, always locked in this kind of a prison. So this kind of a prison, the prison of five aggregates. So therefore Buddha mentioned, so only very few are able to go to the other shore, cross to the other shore. They may understand there is some way out from these five aggregates, and they are very few. So that is the main point that Buddha highlights here. So we need to understand, therefore, if we try to understand Buddha's teaching and practice Buddha's teaching, this is a very rare opportunity that we are making use of. So we haven't got this type of opportunity in maybe in the previous lives. Even if we had, we couldn't achieve it to the fullest point. So that's why we are still wandering in this samsara. So if we look back honestly, it is not the first life that today we are leading, but there are immense or countless lifetimes we have spent at as many different life situations. But still we are wandering in the samsara. So that is why Buddha giving us many similes and try to emphasize. So this opportunity is very precious. So this human birth is very precious. The opportunity of the Buddha, the Buddha's realm is quite precious. And the opportunity to listen to his teaching is also very precious. So we all actually have experience in this very precious opportunities, and it is our duty to get the maximum advantage from these experiences, so these opportunities. So that is why you all are actually gathered together, even though we are remotely connecting with you. So we are trying our best to make use of Buddha's teaching. So it is a very live teaching. It is a very practical teaching. It is something that we can try our best to develop in our minds. For that, Buddha sort of, actually the Dhamma, makes a kind of an open invitation. Ehi passiko, come and see. Come and put me into practice and see for yourself. So this is a kind of very direct invitation that the Dhamma is making. So it is not that Buddha asking us to come and see, rather the Dhamma is inviting us, why don't you come and put me into practice and see for yourself. Don't just blindly believe, so just try to put me into practice and see for yourself. So this is the kind of a open invitation that the Buddha's teaching is making us. So with that sort of encouragement, if we are practicing, so we may be able to, at least to some extent, taste some freedom. So Buddha's teaching is taking us more and more to the lighter kind of a mind, calm mind, tranquil mind, pure mind, kind of unbounded mind, kind of a serene mind, peaceful mind. So this is kind of something that we can practically experience even today. You don't need to practice today just to attain Nibbana in the next life or a future life or say several years ahead. Rather, at the moment, assume that your mind is not that happy or you are burning with the anger. So by applying Buddha's teaching, this anger can be subsided. This anger can be overcome. So then and there we are trying to achieve some sort of a calmness, some sort of a, say, peacefulness. Not burning with lust, not burning with anger, not burning with delusion, or not trapped with the delusion. So then and there, because of this practice, we can calm down our mind. We can maintain a very peaceful mind. So therefore, it is kind of a very electric kind of a practice. It is not that we practice today to attain something in the future. Rather, by practicing today itself, we can experience some sort of happiness, some sort of a calmness, some sort of a peacefulness. So that is why Buddha mentioned his teaching is akalika. So it is not that in the long future, far future, that we get the results. Rather, today, practicing today, we may get the results today itself. So with that, actually, I'd like to conclude today's kind of summarized Dhamma teaching. So this is very much I have discussed in the morning in the Sinhala session. And now I'd like to invite you to start the question and answer session.